Happy Friday, everybody. Well, I want to. Right now, I like that music. Welcome. Welcome to the S Show. I'm trying to keep my language clean, and that always lasts about all 3 minutes.
You'll make it. You'll make it.
You think? I don't know.
You'll survive.
Not the week I've had. But that's why we're talking about it. Horror stories today. We got Matt. Maticus Maximus in the chat, Cruz. Tech Spence's. I love Spence. I have such a crush on Spence. I think he's fantastic. Speaking of crushes, Investigator Chick is here. Another one of my Hall of Fame crushes. Dr. Catherine Allman, if you please. With two L's in her name, not one, correct?
True. Very true.
Not like anybody's ever screwed that up on a live stream before. Never happened. You go back and watch the video, it's fine.
Hey, that's all that matters, right?
Very much one of those, what do they call it? Not Streisand effect. What's the thing where people think one thing is a thing and they swear they remember it that way?
The Mandela effect.
Yeah. Not that at all. It was always like this. East Asia was always at war with Eurasia. And, of course, I am dumb, and I'll have labels up for everybody else. I'm trying to surreptitiously mouse over the Discord. But, of course, there's so many people, it's just their first initial and just dot, 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 going, screw you, Danny, you should have learned their names before they came on. Jake, of course, is here. He's in the upper right-hand corner, in case you didn't notice the sheen. That particular panel has more brightness than the rest of them.
It's a glow, thank you.
Lower right-hand corner, a surprise addition, but all the more welcome, Mr. Steve D3 himself, Steve Reagan.
Howdy.
I don't even like saying former journalist extraordinaire, because I don't think being a journalist is something you ever can turn off, can you?
No, it's in your blood.
Yeah, like, it's not something that, like, anyone that's worth their salt, at least, when you go and you talk to them, it's kind of like, not to liken it. People get mad at me for liking it to, like, the Marines or whatever. But, like, you don't meet a former Marine, right? No. They're all Marines. You don't meet a former drug addict. They're all drug addicts. I don't know why. Those are two extreme parts of the spectrum. And Steve, I lumped journalism in right in the middle there.
Yeah, I'm just kind of wondering where you're trying to place me on that fucking spectrum, man.
Majority, I think, on here, like, we're on one spectrum or another.
Colored blocks, neat.
And then, yes, my name, of course, does not matter, but you can go find me on Twitter. That little @ thing is down there because I can't help but promote myself. Welcome to the Trimark Happy Hour. We do this every Friday, no matter if our other host abandon us or not. Oh, I have sick kids. Okay, bro. Oh, I have home emergencies. Yeah, all right. Devin Brandon not here to defend themselves. I don't know who you are. Go away. Who are our other guests? Jake, you can intro them or you can intro them.
Well, we got Dan. Dan, who are you?
I'm Haircut Fish, maker of memes and the such. How's it going?
Going. Naira, who are you?
Oh, yeah, I'm Naira. I used to work for Walmart before. Now I work for Zempress, but I'm always in these chats here and there looking at and sharing information, AD and Entra and whatnot. And, you know, it's Friday, so I'm here.
Yeah.
That's how we describe our assessments here at Trimark. Entra, AD, whatnot. Can you just
things. Yeah.
Everything.
Just give us money.
That's right. Exactly. Just give us money. Make sure I get paid. I'm good. Corey, who are you?
I'm Corey. I've background in IR, red teaming, and infrastructure. So it's Friday. I'm happy it's Friday, and I'm here. It's Friday. Can't say Friday enough.
Smack dab in the middle of happy spooky Halloween season, by the way. I did I didn't know it was my favorite thing until last night. I took my motorcycle out to go peruse the Halloween decorations, and I put some of that Lorna Shore on in my headphones. It was a full moon last night, too, by the way, which means if I die, it would have been pretty. But no, it is spooky season. It's my favorite season. I love this season. We've actually shied away here at Trimark, by the way, trimarksecurity.com, hub.trimarksecurity.com. We got blogs and stuff. We got a whole bunch of tools. We actually just launched a new one today that lets you get all of them at once or something. I don't know. Jake's description wasn't exactly, verbose, but I'm sure J-Van put that out for us because God knows I'm not doing it anymore. But yeah, we got a lot of stuff if you're just joining us or if you're joining us later on, if you're listening to this over Spotify, I might get it up by next Halloween. As we do that stuff, we are the Active Directory and Identity and Microsoft Cloud experts. Go visit us at TrademarkSecurity.com. That comes with its own little horror show, Active Directory. As Jake well knows, Jake is our service lead for Active Directory Security Assessment. Constantly seeing the grotesquerie that comes with these reports, and we always seem to find something new and horrifying. So we figured, and honestly, listen, marketers, listen very closely. We're already painfully aware of cyber. We don't need a whole month. And you should stop using that shitty hashtag that we've told you about. We're aware of it. But, so we don't really beat that drum too much anymore. We don't go, cybersecurity, we're this month. And then in November, you guys can go back to be blissfully ignorant. No, you're aware all the time. So we figured it's falls and spooky month, aptly enough. It's like, hey, what's the most horrifying month we could put this in? October. So we decided to have a security horror story show, well planned out ahead of time. It's not like we recruited people an hour ago or anything like that.
Nope. Certainly wouldn't do that.
The horror stories fall mostly on that side of the screen with my friends up there in the corner. So I'll pick, Jake, you can moderate this. You can pick people to go first if they've got particular stories.
I know Dan has to drop. About the bottom of the hour. I know, right? He has to drop for another podcast, even.
Another? Who? Tell me it's Red Siege.
I can't talk about it anymore. Oh, no.
I don't think I can mention it yet.
I'm going to find out. Air, so. And then I'm going to retweet it and be like, you dropped us for this. If it's Cisco, I swear to God, you're never invited back here again.
yo, calm that down.
Oh, calm I forgot. That down. Calm down. Steve did not sanction that message. It's time to
calm that down.
All of a sudden, Steve disappears. Like Steve must have had his own horror story. He had to go attend to.
Get kidnapped out of my house.
His black bag is coming. All of a sudden, from the right side of the screen, like a catalyst switch comes flying. Just knocks him right out.
The like, only thing you see is a broken mic stand, a typewriter, and a KGB book. That's it.
You see two gloved hands with some Cat 6. Just okay. Yeah, Dad, you got to go first. We found out you're already abandoning us, so you're already on our shit list, but go right ahead.
Hey, I do what I can. So my horror story goes back a couple jobs ago. I was working for a small tech repair, and I was the manager there. So I had access to the cameras. So if we had any alerts during the night, I'd get alerted on my phone. We had an accountant there that did not like that I had access to the cameras because she thought that it was an invasion of her privacy. So before I personally just dropped access so that because most of the time it was just me and her in the office. I was like, I don't want it to get weird in there. So before I did this one night, I get an alert and I look and there was a weird lady clutching a pillow walking through our entire office in the dark. Super strange. So we ask her about this. She goes, oh, because she liked to stay late and play pool downstairs because the one owner had a pool table down there. She goes, I must have forgot to lock the doors. And so this lady that was a little high on something was just traipsing through our back room and all that, standing in the dark, clutching a pillow. So I delete the camera app off my phone. A month or so later, the accountant is starting to get a little bit like agitated and more like, I keep getting these weird texts. Can you look up on my phone? These people are like putting these weird things in my calendar and all this. I'm like, no, I don't think I can. Like, she says that somebody hacked her phone and all this. Hated and then this one day I come in and she's going back and forth, just kind of talking to herself. And all of a sudden, she goes past me with a pair of scissors, and I hear the network door open. And I go back and look, and she's cutting all the network cables. And I hear her say, "This is ridiculous. They're spying on people at this in the bathrooms at this one bar with these cables." She's like going off. I'm like, so I called the owner up. I said, "Dude, you need to get over here quick. She's cutting all the cables. Like, she's cutting everything in the network closet." And he's like, "Okay, I'm on my way." So he's like, "Can you stop her?" I said, "No, she has scissors. I'm not confronting her." And so he gets in and he goes back there to confront her. She's just going to town and she's pacing. All of a sudden, a customer comes in the shop. And I have to go out front to deal with that while he's in the back dealing with her. So the customer was very nice, and they dropped off their stuff, and I was able to get them in and out quickly. The cops come, and they end up searching her. She had a meth pipe on her.
Sure.
And she just was like, she was still just ranting about, "Well, you gotta arrest them. They're like spying on people with their cameras. That's why I cut the cables and all this." And so sure enough, she didn't have a job after that. And we also found out that she wasn't doing her job that she was even hired to do.
Oh, so this woman would actually work. She wasn't just like some friend of the company that just looked to hang out.
No, she worked there. Oh. She was the accountant. Oh. And she wasn't doing her accounting duties.
I mean, to be fair, she is living my dream. Like, what? Who among us has not seen even the most neatly designed server racks and thought, "God, just chop all of them off, like just a clean thing." Like, you know, I could assume that. And honestly, this woman could have been me. Like, just from the description of the meth pipe on down, you know. you know how when you read a story and you picture the characters about what they might look like, I was just picturing me in a mirror.
Oh my gosh, yeah. I was so taken aback that day. I'm like, what is going on? I was like, "Dude, you need to get over here quick." Like, I called him twice. He's like, I'm on my way. I'm like 10 minutes out. I'm like, okay. But yeah, that was probably the craziest day. And after that, of course, we now secured the network closet.
Now,
of course, after the incident, that's when you secure things.
It took some weird woman carrying a pillow and scissors to do it.
Yeah. So we ended up, we put a scanner for an RFID tag. And because I got a sweet chip in my hand, I actually programmed it to be able to scan my hand to get into the network closet.
Oh, hell yeah.
I mean, it's not fair that everybody loses their meth smoking spot.
Yes.
That's unkind. Way to ruin it for everybody. You know how, like, that one person who, like, you say, "Hey, you guys can use the chat during all hands," and there's that one person that's got to drop some kind of hate speech into it. You ruin it for everybody.
I'm right here, Danny. Yeah. I'm right here.
Well, that's why they make me moderate our all hands chat now. It's because of you.
So that's my horror story.
So, love like, it. When did the pillow, was it like, was like at night, so, this random woman?
Oh, the pillow wasn't her. She, the accountant worked there, and she liked to work at all hours. Like, she'd come in the middle of the night, and that's why she's like, "I don't want, like, when I get dinged that the camera is, so there's motion."
Yeah.
It's because she's coming in the middle of the night to do accounting things that she really wasn't doing.
Accounting things?
Yeah.
She was accounting how many hits off that pipe she was getting.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And so, 1,000, but yeah. So, yeah. So, like, that's why, like, I'm like, okay, if it's going to be her and I don't want, it's only me and her in the office, I'm not going to create a big rift. I'll just, like, yeah. I even showed her, said, "Look, I'm deleting the camera app. You're good. I'm not invading your privacy, whatever." And I mean, it's not like the cameras even went in they didn't go in the bathrooms. They were in the back room where I worked in the accounting office. And the front desk and like the parking lot. So she was super paranoid.
Honestly, this is the kind of behavior that I expect out of the marketing team. To see accountants fall so far, geez. Who would have known the person cooking the books would be the first one to crack? I mean, I'm sure. Well, I mean, wait, do you still work at this place?
No.
Oh, okay, well, then, yeah, they're definitely cooking the books. I was going to say, if you did, I'd be like, that was only a joke. That was meant for entertainment.
Man, that's twice, bro.
I know.
Twice.
I'll edit it later. Nobody will know what happened, right, Kathy?
Oh, yeah. Nobody. Nobody ever.
Become an expert at it. Freaking bad. So, freaking bad, by the way, aka Jay Van, showrunner of Sober and Cyber, also one of our external marketing things, which she essentially just runs our marketing now because I made her do it. She's like, we need some disclaimers. And I was like, well, why don't you go write that up in the middle of the eight other things I got you doing? They're like, well, no, Jen made the marketing plan. She made the vision campaign, trimarkvision.com. And, oh, by the way, she also is now part of our legal department.
Oh, sweet. I didn't know you were a lawyer, J-Van.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm sure Adrian needs all the help with people like us. All right, so that's your story, Dan. You can feel, I mean, you can stay as long as you want, but if you start unceremoniously just drop out, then, you know, we'll take notice, but it's fine. What is this other podcast that you're doing? What time is it? What do you have to be there?
I gotta be there in about 10 minutes.
Of course you do.
Are they on Twitch? Can we raid them?
Yeah.
No, it won't be live. Oh. So,
see, they're smarter than we are.
Yeah. So, but, once I find out the date that they'll be airing it, I'll share it in the Discord.
And then
you can raid it and talk about it. Me. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's right.
All right. That's fair. Jake, you pick who goes next.
Let's see. I feel like Steve's got stories, but I also feel like Steve's stories are going to make me so creeped out that I am going to want to just leave and go cuddle in a corner for a little while.
Well, are any three of you on a time crunch like the other inconvenient person was?
I'm on vacation, bro. I got all day.
Kathy, what you got?
All right. So I will affectionately refer to this as Tinfoil Hat Kid because there's no other way to think about this individual. So I work for a major research university, and I do a lot of work with different units. And because I work in the security office, I am now in a building that thankfully has swipe card access limited, you know. We don't have randos just walking in on off the street. Although you rando, I would welcome walking in off the street. The other ones, not so much. So anyway, back when I was working in a different building, because sometimes students get very upset, worried, freaked out for whatever reason, they, of course, want to come talk to the security office. So this particular individual shows up and he's shaking. He's so mad. Like, we wound up having to call university police because he was like freaking out about whatever it was he was freaking out about. And he could have been on something. I don't even know. So fast forward, and we wound up doing an investigation on a laptop because this person was absolutely convinced that they were being watched. And they were like, let me show you the evidence of me being watched, right? And so they like do these recordings of what they believe is happening, and it's like normal Windows behavior. Well, see, look, all these services are happening. I'm like, okay. And I'm like on this three-way call with this person who's just like, look, see, there are these services. Yes, and they're all standard. There is absolutely nothing going on here. To be fair, this poor individual was not okay and wound up moving home. But it, you know, it scared the crap out of us because we do have students who are not necessarily all together with it. And they are, yeah, I'm just really glad I'm in a different building now because that was not a whole lot of fun. You know, I mean, it is now amusing in retrospect, but at the time was less scary. So, you know, normally, unless you work in a hospital or something, and I've said this before, right? Security typically, our level of security is not a life or death situation, but sometimes it is. So, yeah.
Woof. Man. So that's always been a question of like, in a university, mm-hmm. if you are catch a student spying on another student? Like, is that something that you all are capable of doing? Forensics then on their stuff, or like,
so we will not touch personal stuff. However, okay. If there is an accusation like that, student conduct sometimes gets involved, and they will ask us for log information, you know, that might show a connection or some kind of evidence that proves or disproves whatever they think has happened. And I get those calls pretty regularly. We have the same thing with like employee relations. So if they think an employee has done something inappropriate, we rarely do full forensics for anything other than an employee issue with a university piece of equipment, because the liability there would be huge. I have, on a couple of very rare occasions when I first started, we had a researcher personal laptop situation where nobody had done anything wrong. They had just, you know, it was a situation where when you delete stuff, it's not really gone. And they thought like this database that they'd spent like 4 years adding this data to was like completely gone, and they were losing their minds, you know. And I connected the drive, and I used forensic software and I pulled it back for them. But it's not something that we advertise we do, and there were very special circumstances or I would not have touched that, because again, liability and whatnot. But yeah, so but it was, I mean, it was a legitimate university research project, and so yeah. It was in the early days, because now I don't think we would even, I mean, honestly, even if the president asked, I don't think we would do that on a non-university device just because of the liability.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Well, wild. Geez, yeah. I'm going to stick that in my back pocket for anything I do wrong. This is a legit university project.
Again, that we're still, we're talking about like 2007, 2008, like a long time ago. So.
I'm gonna start claiming that anything Danny asked me to do, I'm sorry, that's a liability issue.
And... Yes.
sorry, Jake. Danny, I can't get that document to you.
Yeah, Jake, where's that blog you promised? Oh, it's a liability issue.
It's a liability issue. I can't write that.
Sure, a liability issue.
Still one of the better excuses I've heard since I've been here.
I'm sorry, officer. I can't give you my ID. That's a liability issue.
It's a liability issue, and it's a secret university project.
Yeah, I don't do much in the way of forensics for PD, only because that stuff really needs to go to the regional forensics lab. So if they think there's criminal activity, then I don't touch that with a 10-foot pole, you know, and we just make it go away. So
chain of custody
can,
or whatever.
They can pull it.
Make sure, yeah.
Yes. Yes. I have gone with PD to pull equipment because there was concern about that following full chain of custody, but I did not do the actual investigation for that reason, because you get into criminal stuff and I don't want to screw up someone's trial. So, but yeah, gotcha. But we do provide logs for other stuff all the time. As logs. You know, yeah, I mean, I've done stuff, tasty logs.
Love logs.
There was a Amtrak ticket scam that students from two different universities thought they could pull off, and the police investigator and I worked together, and they wound up arresting these kids. So I do get to do some criminal work, just not where I'm doing the forensics.
Good. More kids need to be arrested.
That's right.
No. Spent a little time in the clink. Maybe we wouldn't be where we are today.
Danny's darn instead millennial. Of going, get off my lawn. Danny's just like, arrest them all.
Come on, yeah, come on my. I never told them to come on my lawn. Arrest them.
It's on my personal property.
Like, well, sir, he was stuck in a bear trap on your property. Like, I didn't put that there. It must have been those damn kids.
He needs to go to jail.
This neighborhood's really going downhill. There was some lady wandering around with a pillow and a meth pipe earlier.
What's her name? Methany.
Oh, what? You don't know Methany? You've never seen her before? Really going to hell in a handbasket. All right, does that complete your story there, Doctor?
Well, unless we would like a piece of true historical story that doesn't have to do with computing but has to do with dead things.
Sure, why not? Yeah. We got time. We got a half hour to kill.
All right. All right, I'll throw this out there. So I've been doing a bunch of research on my hometown, and I wound up looking into all of the original Undertakers. The village was incorporated in 1829, and so I've gone back as far as I could. And as part of that research, one of the things that I wound up reading about, there were a family that owned a quarry, and that family, two of the brothers were stonecutters, and they made headstones. And they made some absolutely gorgeous, gorgeous headstones that still exist in town today. One of the brothers at one point lost his mind and killed his wife, like bludgeoned her with, you know, a fire poker, had no recollection of what happened, like looked down, realized his wife was dead and was like, buddy. And so in town, they had to obviously do something, right? But the funny part was, this was the first capital crime that ever happened. So they were going to hang him because he killed his wife. Okay, so they go to hang him. And the first time they try, it doesn't work. So he's like, can I just go? And they were like, no. So they do it again, and it's successful. This man's name, by the way, is Joseph Damon.
That guy was sucked and, to be in a project on. Oh, it didn't work the first time. Guess right. better give
and,
up.
And I mean, you know, but the best part about this was he was the first and last person to be hanged, because by the time they actually hanged him, the law had changed and they actually weren't supposed to do it at all. But they wanted to make an example of him. So his body gets buried and his wife's body gets buried, but his body gets dug up by a local physician to use.
As one does.
And to this day, we don't know. There's like stories about how it traded hands a few times, but both his body and his wife's body are completely missing in a town that has just amazing records for like everything else. And they're both gone. We don't know what happened to their body. So there's my like spooky story full of actual history. I'm going to tomorrow night. Actually, I'm going on a cemetery tour that they have in my hometown every year. And one of the actors who plays the dead people, you know, they have these people who recreate the folks who are buried there, does the wife. And she tearfully tells the story of how she was killed. And so it's pretty cool. I'm looking forward to it, but yeah, it's really wild that we have absolutely no idea what happened to either of their bodies.
That is odd. Mm-hmm. It's very strange.
Yep.
I need more creepy stories like that.
Pay no attention to the skeletons I have in my barn.
Just wait. Just wait.
Hold on. Steve hasn't gone yet.
I mean, yeah, that's right.
Well, let's hear. Corey said something about a Russian mobster.
Oh well,
yeah, let's hear
now you've got my attention.
Yeah, yeah.
You see the book behind me, Corey?
Yeah. So, I guess the easy way to start this story is I was trying to expand the digital forensics and incident response team that was under me at the time. This was years ago. This was not recent, just to be clear. So we were looking to expand it. And we got a lot of really good interviews and really good candidates. And there was this one guy who was really starting to make his way through the interview ranks, I'll call it. And so I jump on. And I lucked out the guy that I was interviewing this person with. Turned out to have, they spoke Russian. They knew Russian dialect very well. They knew regionalized Russian. Like they could tell by how somebody spoke where they were from in Russia. And so we're interviewing them, and the person is telling us they're from the Czech Republic. Cause I'm just going to screw it up if I try and say it. They're from the Czech Republic. Right. And, so he is messaging me off to the side saying they're lying. And so we're starting to pick up some cues, and just like me as a blurred background, right? Like this whole blurred background. And I'm like, wait a minute, this guy's in an office right now. Not like a home office, not like I'm in or everybody else on this call's in, but like a literal office. And we're seeing like shadows, like he has a door open, like there's people like shuffling, like back and forth behind him. And so we're looking this up, and he continues to talk. And so we did the right thing. I'll say we did the right thing. I take a screenshot of this guy's face. And so we had this real weird sneaking suspicion. And so I call one of my buddies at a three-letter agency, and I'm like, hey, you know, have you ever heard of this person? And we give him the name, and we told him the story of exactly what happened and how odd it was. And there was like a lot of shuffling behind him. He said, oh, you know what? Well, we're going to look into it. And I said, I swear to you, you know, the person I work with, won't name names, they swear they're from this region in Russia. And just so happens that some of my three-letter agency friends specialize in... they specialize in Russian investigations. So it kind of just stars aligned, so to speak. And so I don't think about it. I kind of forget about it for a while. We obviously didn't hire that person, right? And so
I hired him immediately, and he's just, you know, he's been a great worker.
Like certain other companies, you mean, that do things that they shouldn't when they hire?
Like, I'm sorry, we have to go with another candidate. Her name's Metheny.
Yeah. We'll hire her right now. Like, so then it's like 6-8 months later, I get this phone call, and it's not from one of my friends. It's from somebody who works for one of my friends. And he's like, hey, you know, this is so-and-so three-letter agency. And I'm like, hey, and we do a lot of like forensics investigations where we transition a lot of data back and forth. I'm like, I don't think we have anything going on right now. And he goes, do you remember that guy that you interviewed like a little while back? And I'm like, yeah. He's like, what other information can you get on this person? So like, we're pulling his resume. We're throwing everything that we had at him. And he goes, all right, we'll be in contact. I'm like, yeah, sure. Like a lot of times we never get that follow-up, like that follow-up never happens. So then skip forward another 4 months. I get another strange phone call, and it's literally that same guy. And he's like, hey, I just wanted to call you and let you know we got him. And we wanted to give you a little bit of insight into what he was doing. And so this individual lived out of St. Louis, which I know nothing, by the way, zero about anything with Russian mobsters and things of that nature. Like, this is a whole different world than I'm used to. He's like, I guess it's bigger in St. Louis. I don't know. And so basically, this person was, and they were very intelligent, by the way. They passed our, technically, you know, we have a whole array of incident response tests and stuff, passed all of it. So this person was getting into organizations as an incident responder. And then what they were doing is dropping ransomware that was Russian linked. And they would encrypt the whole entire organization. Then they would, you know, you would have your ransom hit them, and let's say they pay it. They would take that money in Bitcoins, and then they'd take it to their local Cabela's, and they'd buy a whole bunch of stuff, iPhones and everything that's kind of, you know, not legal in Russia.
Of course,
and then
of course Cabela's, that's the go-to.
They bought, like, night vision scopes and stuff, I guess, and they put it on a boat and sent it back to the motherland. So like it was this whole entire crime like circle, which was just insanity. And he was like, yeah, you really dodged a bullet on not hiring that guy and calling us. And they ended up arresting that guy. He's in prison.
The motherland being Milwaukee.
Yeah, yes. It's definitely not Russia. It's not...
He was giving ransomware during his day job as an accountant.
Yeah.
You couldn't get a hold of him sometimes. I mean, he's busy playing pool.
But did he have a pillow?
No pillow. He wasn't cool enough to have a pillow, to be honest.
I'm going to tie Metheny into all these stories.
Well, remember, Metheny is, you know, the first name. And then you have Methan, you know, Stephen Methan. Metheny, you know, there you go.
Sure. There we go. Great insight, Steve. Thank you.
I spent a lot of time thinking about meth names. Yeah.
I spent a lot of time thinking about it back in the late 90s.
No, late 90s wasn't meth.
No, I'm surprised. We haven't really heard, I don't know if we haven't heard so much this year, or have we, about, I feel like ransomware is like the hot shit, and maybe it's just so popular that it stopped losing all the hot shitness about it, or people are just paying it without actually like talking about it.
It's so commonplace, dude. You're just like, blind to it now. Like it, you're, it just doesn't matter. Like it happens every day now, and you're like, oh look, a meth attack or meth attack,
meth attack, a methware attack.
Maybe a little bit.
I am reading chat while talking to you, and all I see is what about a meth pipe? And I'm like, oh look, a meth attack, and it's
yeah, and. Honestly, like, I mean, I think what's really sad, though, is that, you know, we were seeing, you know, all these big companies getting nailed. And now what we're seeing are things like hospitals and we're seeing healthcare. And it's just disgusting. I mean, we still see higher ed getting pwned with it, too. But yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Yep. Speaking of pwning, internal pwning, Nara, what do you got for us? Your story was great.
I don't have any such spooky stories. I think they'll set the standard high and bar high. But yeah, like you mentioned, I just have a comment. Like, you know, hospitals, that's all we see all the time getting hacked nowadays, and it's pretty bad. And some of the configurations and everything, I can't get into the details, but that's all we work on. And it's pretty hard, especially, I also think the work and the AD skill set is kind of slowly weaning away also. It's not as what you see outside, and all the companies that are doing all these tools to help people out, recoveries and whatnot, those are the only things keeping people alive, and some backup somewhere in another country for some reason being present and or you know some snapshot by mistake being present somewhere. That's what we see. It's pretty bad. Even we have all this information out there, but that is really spooky. Like we used to make fun, and I've been in, like, here's another horror thing, right? Like I've worked for many Fortune companies. I can't take name off, but they've had amazing talent and et cetera. And you join and then you hear, oh, we don't back up domain controllers because we've got 700 of them. And that's true. We've seen that. We don't back up. We don't want to, because it's everywhere. Why do you think you need to back up? And that's something I've seen. So
I don't think that falls under a RAID configuration.
Be surprised what they think.
Or then there's always the, well, we back them up, right? But we don't do anything to protect the backups. So
don't
need to worry about it.
Backups either.
Nope.
We got all these backups.
No testing.
None of them work, but we have them.
Nope.
Yep.
Yeah, they don't have a backup solution. They just let meth sleep by the servers in case somebody tries to get in.
There was a time, this is back when I was still writing bylines, and I was following a ransomware group called SamSam, and I was talking to medical companies that have been affected by them. And there was a thing that kept coming up, and I mean every conversation I had. Hospitals and medical groups are so constrained. It's almost like they're intentionally being put out to fail. And what I mean by that is a regular enterprise maybe gets a refresh budget. There's technology upgrades. There's new hires. There's things that go like a hospital doesn't do that. When a hospital buys technology, they're buying long haul. We're looking at 20, 30 years. So when they buy these giant machines, they get to buy them now and then they get to keep them forever. But here's the catch. They can't ever connect them or do anything to them. Their IT people cannot touch them. If they do, they violate their like warranty, or you know what I'm saying? Like the manufacturer will no longer service that particular thing because you've messed with it. So they can't update the operating system. They can't update the firmware. They can't update anything to do with it unless the actual, you know, service people come out to do it. And the service people are not consistent if they come out at all. And then you have the actual network and devices, and you have to consider the people on the network. So you have laptops with Windows XP or Windows 10 and things running around, or Windows 7 even. Why? Because that's what the doctor wants. And if there's one thing you don't do, it's mess with the doctor or upset the doctor and take away their toys because they use that device to go and
that's
do things.
Exactly. That's exactly
Changing the doctors out from Blackberries to iPhones, apparently, in one hospital was such a nightmare. They ended up running both simultaneously until the doctors finally got migrated off, but that was 2 years. They had a nice vulnerability gap between the two devices because they could not update both simultaneously, so they had to pick and choose. That was a big problem. Like, there's so much that goes on in the medical industry that it's almost like they're being set up for failure, and it's sad. It really is sad because there's nothing the public sector can really do about it, because if you think about it, they're still regulated and controlled in the medical space, and they still have these contracts to deal with. You can't fix it. no matter how bad you want to, and even if you know the answer, you can't go in and change anything because by contract or by regulation, they have to do things a certain way.
Yeah, it's like insane. Civiac says in chat, hi Civ, 100%, vendor doesn't support this anymore. Okay, then I'll fix it. Nope, vendor doesn't allow that either.
Yep.
Yeah. No, we had a company recently who got hacked and things, and we figured out, we jumped in, we thought our tool sets can help and whatnot, and we saw they were running 2003 domain controllers and half the shit won't even work with them. And yep, we were like, what can we do here? It was bad. Like, please help us. And it was more like, please help us. Everything was running as it was supposed to, and now we don't know what to do.
Yep.
So
there was a hospital here locally in Indiana. I can't name names, but they got ransomed. And the administrators of the hospital decided, you know what? We're just going to pay the ransom. And I'm like, but backups? And they're like, no, it's actually cheaper to pay the ransom. We've looked at the cost of what it's going to take to restore all this stuff from backup. We've looked at the cost of, it's cheaper to pay the ransom. We're just going to pay the ransom. And luckily, you know, this particular hospital, they were dealing with SAMSEM at the time. And they paid the ransom and they actually got all their stuff back. It took them a weekend to recover all the machines. And cost effectively, because this administrator got called up by the government here in the state and a bunch of other regulatory people. He had to account for paying that ransom because that's a big deal. And they broke down the numbers, and literally it was cheaper to pay the ransom, cheaper by a factor of 10. Like, it would cost tens of millions of dollars to restore all this stuff versus a few million dollars to pay off the ransom. And that was insane. It became a business decision. And going back to your point, Rando, like, why you don't see this stuff, you know, in the news mainstream, for a lot of companies now, it's straight up business call. It's just a business call.
And it has to be. It has to be. Because, you know, that's the whole point of security, right? It's to keep the business going. So at the end of the day, if you don't keep the business going, then it doesn't matter how secure you are.
Geez, it's almost like the two main things that would better our country, which is healthcare and education, and they're almost set up to fail.
Yeah.
How weird. Would we do that?
K-Ruth, in chat, I see the question, cheaper than the backups. Yes. So restoring from backups and hired a labor to go to all of the hospitals and doctors' offices that were part of that medical group, the projected cost was $15 million, and it would have taken a month and a half to get all of that done. And that's to touch every system and everything, or to use the automated backup that the ransomware group had, or the automated recovery tools that the ransomware group had helpfully provided. It took them a weekend, and it cost them $1.5 million in ransom. So, yeah.
I'm just shocked that the decryptor worked.
That, you know, not only seems like, you know, the decryptor worked, that they gave it to him. I was actually shocked they gave it to him, because most ransomware, you know, you take that risk. You pay the ransom, and they're like, that's great. Do it again.
Do it again, or else we release everything we got. Yeah. For sure.
Well, and that's the direction it's gone, right? It, instead of... I mean, we see less and less of the ransom being to decrypt. The message is, give us money or we're going to release all this data and, you know, share your private stuff with the universe, which is much worse than your stuff's encrypted, because, okay, you can restore that from backup if you have backups and that all works. But the threat of, we're just going to give this up, like, what do you do with that, right? Because backups don't matter at that point.
Isn't all our personal information out there anyway right now, is what I feel from all the different breaches.
Nara's like the Grim Reaper. Anymore? He just keeps reappearing with, like, really bummer shit to say. Like, he drops a thing, like, oh, healthcare is just, okay, guys, I'll see you. And he comes back, and he goes, you know what else sucks?
You have no disappear again. Privacy, and everybody knows everything about you.
Your new handle here is Grim. That's what we're calling you.
I recently got invited to a conference, and they were asking me my email and details to send them. They were like, no need. And they even sent me my address and everything. And is this all correct? And I was like, how did you get that? And I haven't heard a response back. They had my exact address in USA. And I was like, no way I've shared that anywhere. And it was out there. So I was like,
Bats in chat is like, Nara's like that Skeletor meme where he just drops an unfortunate thing and goes, until we meet again, and runs away.
Until we meet again. Remember, you have no data privacy. It's already all been leaked. Until we meet again.
Okay, you're not Grim, you're Skeletor. That's what we're going to call you. and now he's gonna disappear again, and my whole thing's gonna change. And then I'll come back in when Steve's talking and be like, "You know, I saw a puppy die once." But Jesus Christ, Lord.
Let's hear Steve. I want to hear Steve's spooky stories now.
Okay.
What you got?
So the first
dark and stormy night.
So the first spooky story is kind of like our good doctors. I'm going to talk a little bit about history. So I live in Indiana, and Indiana is rife with spooky stories and old wives' tales and just folklore in general. Okay, so there's two that stand out. Now, the first is the covered bridge story. Now, the covered bridge story is interesting. Indiana's full of covered bridges. We're like actually pretty popular for it. You know, you've probably heard of the bridges of Madison County, talking about color, you know, that movie and everything like this. Well, here's the thing. Depending on where you're hearing the story, the county will change. It could be Vigo County, it could be Montgomery, Vermilion, or what have you. But somewhere in an Indiana county, there's a covered bridge. And the story goes that, you know, usually late at night when everything's still, you'll hear the sound of crying. And you don't know why. You go near the bridge, the sound of crying gets a little bit louder, but it's still consistent crying. And the reason why you're crying is because the lady who was running at night one time trying to get away from something, you know, that something changes. It could be an attacker. It could be somebody that was following her. It could be running away from her parents to try and meet her, you know, her lover. What matters is the fact that you hear the crying, and it's because she tripped on the boards on the bridge and dropped her baby. Baby's down below, and she can't swim and she can't go after it. And so you just hear the crying. And there are so many stories like that now that when you take some of these haunted tours in Indiana, they literally tell you, do not expect to hear that. This is not the covered bridge. And yet you can never find that covered bridge. And it's very funny to hear that kind of story go around, because depending on what generation you are, there's a different version of that story. Now, I grew up hearing about the story in Shelbyville, or the bridge in Shelbyville, which isn't actually in any of the main counties that you always hear it about. But for us, it was the railroad tracks. She was on the tracks walking home. The train was coming. She panicked. She tripped. The baby went flying. She got out of the way. The baby was in the riverbank below. And so mom's just there crying. And that's the horror story that you hear. Now, there's another one that you'll hear about, and it's called the House of Blue Lights. Now, the House of Blue Lights is real. The farm existed. The family existed. And if you were to go to where this place is now, the land has been bought up and redeveloped. It's actually a shopping center. There's restaurants and things like this. But this actually was real. Now, when the farmer lost his wife, he kept her in one of those viewing coffins. So it's the sealed glass coffin. This coffin had blue lights around, and he kept her in the garage, the shed, or whatever you want to call it, next to the main farmhouse and the House of Blue Lights. Okay. And he would go and visit her and everything like this. Long after he died, her aura, the blue lights that came off, could constantly be seen in the field around where that house would have been. And it was always the same. And everybody knew that as the location of the House of Blue Lights. And that's where the story came from. To this day, there are still people who will be out in the area around it that claims they can see a tint of blue coming off the blackness that is the fields and the trees behind all the shopping center. And nobody can explain what it is. So that's always been a thing. There is a cemetery in southern Indiana. It's called the Devil's Chair. Basically, it's a tree stump that is shaped like a chair. And if you sit in it, you have about 3 days and then you're gone. Time to check out. The way it works is that chair, the way the tree is, it's facing the grave of a small child. And if you're sitting in that chair, it's because you're taking mom's seat and mom does not like that. And so mom will come and get you. And that's exactly what has happened. There are constant stories in Noblesville, Indiana, of people that have visited that cemetery, sat in that spot, and none of them have had happy endings. Not a one.
You know, it's funny you say, I have heard a version of that woman crying one. You said like it's generational or whatever. The one from our generation is, it's a, this woman was walking through and she was holding a baby and she had to go try to feed it. And running up behind her was actually a Bishop Fox HR rep saying, scheduling a last minute phone call with her manager and an unnamed person on the phone. And she just keeps crying.
Oh, man.
It's generational, right? It's generational.
All right. So
you're didn't use the other company's name, Steve.
Hey, look, I'm happy you just didn't pick the other one you could have gone for. The funny thing is, for those of you listening, if you're interested in stories like this, there are two books you can get that you can read. It's Haunted Indiana and Haunted Heartland. Haunted Heartland is amazing. It's not just stories from Indiana, it's stories from all over the Midwest. And there's some amazing talent that went into researching and writing this book. So those books are really good to read. The other thing that's really interesting, so this is not a folklore thing. This is what happened to me. So when I was 14 years old, I started working and I was working in a restaurant. Now, you'd expect there would be laws governing 14-year-olds working in a restaurant, but when your family owns the restaurant, it really doesn't matter. So I was a bar back. And what that means is I carried liquor up from the cellar under the restaurant to the bar and helped stock the beer cabinet, stock the liquor cabinet. This is why at 14, I knew how to make margaritas, Long Island iced teas, and other things. Probably should not have known that, but I did, and here we are. So we're setting up the upstairs room. Now, this house, it's a restaurant now, but it used to be a house in the late 1800s. And it was a double-story brick building. And so it was always drafty and things like this. You never really thought about it. We're going upstairs to set up for a tent top that's coming in that night. Now, we have two main rooms upstairs that are separated by the restrooms on the south wall, and then you've got the main glass wall that, you know, you walk up the side, and there's like a little open dining area of like seven or eight chairs. So if you wanted to go up, you know, up top, we've got some tables up there. They're mostly four tops. But we set up in the main thorough area. We set up for a tent top. And so we've got the chairs, we've got the napkins down, we've got the water glasses and the main serving glasses. Like, we've got all this stuff up there. And I walk into the wait room off to the side, and I start picking up more silverware rolls so we can put them down. And I come back out, and the table, all of the glasses are stuck, literally in a pyramid, like they're stacked up. Now, I'm thinking one of the servers is upstairs screwing with me. So I'm just like fixing them, and I go back and, you know, I get my silverware, and I turn back around. Now all the chairs are laying on their backs. The glasses are fine, but all the chairs are laying like they've been tipped over. And I'm like, what the hell is going on? And so finally, I pick it up and I go downstairs and I tell my aunt Tina, I'm like, hey, somebody's upstairs screwing with the tent top I'm trying to set up. I'm putting the tables, they're stacking the glasses, they're knocking over my chairs. This is ridiculous. You know, can you just come up there? And she's like, Steven, sit down. Just wait here. So she goes upstairs and she comes back down. She goes, okay, I looked. I didn't see anything. I don't think anybody's up there. And so I'm like, all right, I'll go back upstairs. And now when I come back out, finally got my silverware. I'm pushing the glass card out. You know, I'm getting ready to finalize this table. I come back out. The chairs are fine. The glasses are fine. But all of the silverware has been scattered across the floor. Like, it's just you know, the soup spoons and stuff we put down, it's just everywhere. So I go back down. I said, now it's a mess. I haven't touched anything. Go look. This is getting ridiculous. Who's doing this? And so she goes, come with me. She goes upstairs and she's like, Angie, stop it. And all you hear is this.
My name is Matthew.
And somewhere down, like off to the back, you hear like a door close. And she's like, just fix it. You'll be fine. Come to find out, occasionally there's the rumor has it, the poltergeist, the ghost of the lady that used to live there, like 20, 30 years earlier, still hangs out from time to time, because the upstairs was where she lived. That was her apartment, because they owned the grocery store that was now a restaurant, but it used to be a grocery store in the bottom. They lived upstairs from it. Very commonplace in that side of Indiana. And so, yeah, that was the freakiest thing that ever happened to me. And for the record, I never went to the second floor again to set up tables. I always had somebody else do it.
No, thank you.
All right, well, that's one way to end the episode. All right, we are running. We are at 2 minutes. This is where we usually do our sign off. We get 2 minutes. So you want to do a rapid fire one, Jake?
Yeah, let's do that. Let's. What was something good that happened to you this week, Kathy? Go.
I'm really, really looking forward to doing the talk that I will tonight about Victorian death practices for the local science museum.
Awesome. Steve, how about you? Anything good happened this week besides taking Friday off?
I got a hug from both my grandkids yesterday on my birthday. So,
hell yeah. Happy birthday. Happy grandkids. Nara, anything good happened to you this week? And if nothing good happened, you can say something that sucked.
Oh, no. Everything's good. Like, I'm out of work. I'm learning Pearl Jam. Just Breathe songs. I play fingerstyle. So I'm happy.
Awesome. Corey, what you got? You got something good?
Just been working on personal projects like the Fantabyte stuff. That's really been where I've been focusing. So just trying to keep my head down in line with personal projects.
Rockin'. Love it. Danny, what did you do good this week?
Got my Adderall refilled.
Heck yeah.
Good for me. I was talking about methany. I'm, you know, I'm feeling a mite peckish. All right. Do we cover everybody?
No, me. Me. Fuck.
All right, go ahead.
My cough is finally gone from getting sick from a silly little field trip with fifth graders. So, yeah.
That'll do it.
Yeah, finally feeling better.
Okay, that will close out our show for this week. We'll be back next week. I think Brandon's doing something or I'm doing something. I forget. We actually do have a schedule where we tried to like get our shit together, but
next week Ray Redacted.
Ray Redacted. That'll be an episode. Oh, yeah. All I gotta say is I don't even care what he's talking about. It's Ray Redacted. So for anybody that wants to see what else we're doing, hey, tell your friends. We do Active Directory. And not for nothing, you see a lot of like marketing or whatever. Like, we're the experts, man. There is nobody better in the entire industry collectively than Trimark as an Active Directory identity and cloud security. I defy you. We have the best. So you got assessments. Get some of that Q4 budget burning. Don't use it. You lose it. Check out TrimarkSecurity.com/services for any of our stuff, plus TrimarkVision.com, hub.TrimarkSecurity.com. We are not all about shilling. We're a lot about shilling, but not all of it. We have a bunch of blogs, white papers, tools up at GitHub. You can check all that stuff out. What's Q4 budget? That sounds nice. I bet it's nice. Okay, if you don't have a budget, we got free tools. How about that? You go up to GitHub.com/Trimark. We got a whole bunch of stuff up there. So for myself, everybody in the chat, thank you, Steve. Thank you, Kathy. Thank you, Corey. Corey, right? Yes. Yeah. Skeletor, thank you very much. And Methany, wherever you are, thank you, baby. We will talk to all of you next week.